Negative World Podcast, the podcast about video games by the Nintendo fans at negativeworld.org. This is episode 34, and we are recording this on Friday, June 8th, 2012. This is our second E3 episode, and we are recording with three new guests, and we've got, you know, me and my co-host, Ninsage.
Hello.
There he is. And so same format as the last episode. We're going to ask those five questions. Hopefully you're not sick of them by now. And then we're going to go into the main topic. So let's jump in. We have our first guest. It is our buddy Rob.
Yeah.
Welcome,
Mr. Mustache.
Rob.
Mr.
In
Mustache.
The house.
Indeed.
Thanks for having me, dudes.
Things are getting
Mario
scratchy.
Mario Kart extraordinaire.
I guess so, apparently. Someone's got to do it, I think, right?
Yeah. Seriously, no, that's true. If you weren't here, no one would do it.
Hey, is Ninsage not racing tonight, then?
No, he's not.
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I had
what
to
a
do
toad.
That to you
guys. It's okay.
Just play while you're doing the podcast. It'll be fine.
You know, you could probably do it on None the Wiser.
Someone will be talking, and I'll just be like, blue shell.
Yep.
Well, just let's talk about Mario Kart. Where was Mario Kart at E3? And then you can just be like, oh, because the blue shell fucking got me just now. That'll make no sense.
Yeah. That's what usually happens.
Yeah. So we're just going to jump right in, I suppose.
Sure. The water is warm. Don't even got to test it out. Just right in.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the only one wearing a Speedo.
Who said I'm wearing anything?
Damn these internet podcast recordings.
Yeah, we're going to have to start using video just to make sure that people are not being weird.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, you know what? Hey, there's a Wii U coming. So, Rob, are you going to be buying it at launch?
I will be buying day one, yes. And I went to my local GameStop today and talked to my buddy, and he thinks that they're definitely doing reserves there. And I also asked about the chance of a midnight release, and he thinks also probably. So
that's
I am excited
awesome.
About that.
Did he say when they would start?
He didn't know, but he is the one that told me before. He thought the weekend before Thanksgiving, he initially thought, which is what the Wii was. So yeah. I can definitely see that too.
No, you know, I was looking at that the other day, and the Wii came out on the 21st, did it not?
I don't know. I know that I played Twilight Princess for the first time
the 18th,
on
I think.
Thanksgiving morning. Yeah, 18th sounds right.
Yeah, and Sunday, November 18th is this year as well. So I think that that's pretty much the spot. It's the golden spot.
3DS was a Sunday release also.
Yeah. Oh, I guarantee it's going to be a Sunday release. I'd put money down on that. But I'm pretty sure it'll be the 18th because, that's before Thanksgiving, before Black Friday. And, it's...
Wikipedia says the 19th.
Oh, they're drunk.
I've heard mutterings. People think that this isn't going to sell as well as the Wii. I think if it releases that Sunday, like even with all the crap people are saying about it right now, there's no way you'll be able to find one after Black Friday. I don't think.
I think it'll sell as well as the Wii over its lifetime, but I don't know if it'll have the same exact launch because now you have to convince people not to get something brand new, but something that is an evolution of something they already have. So that'll take a little more convincing, I think.
We'll see, I guess.
Not that your friend would know right away, but do you think he might ever find out about the color options before launch?
No, I don't know. I got to go pick up Rhythm Thief for Mrs. Mustache later this month, and I got to go get... Oh, I'm skipping ahead of myself. Last Story comes out on the 20th, guys. That's less than 2 weeks out now. I got to pick that up. Hopefully, I'll have some more information.
Yeah, let me know, because, I mean, I'm ready to call Donnie, who is, like, the go-to Nintendo guru at my GameStop. I can't believe he knows me by name, considering I don't go in there very much, but I'm going to have to go, you know, bug him about it, because I want to be the first pre-order at that GameStop.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah, anyway.
So, Rob,
yes.
Do you have a most anticipated game coming out of the E3 showing?
I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between these things. Like the Miiverse thing is really exciting me, like with that stuff. And I think it's gonna be so funny just seeing messages from all of us in Negative World and
absolutely.
You know, other buddies you might have outside of it, you know, dying at the exact same place or something like that. It's like, oh, I can't believe that guy got me at the same place. It's gonna be so fun. Like that's just gonna be hilarious to me.
I think it's gonna be so awesome. I just, when I heard about that concept from Dark Souls, I think it was like the first one to really do that. I just thought, man, every game should have this, and now it kind of will.
It's a really brilliant way to go about a true online network. You know, of course, Nintendo's going to do something so outlandish. You know, and I think they'll pull it off.
I was gonna say, but the game that really snuck on my radar really quickly was that Zombie U game.
Me too.
Like just out of nowhere, it like flew right to the top of my charts. It's like holy cow! Like Pikmin, you know, it's gonna be awesome. Like Mario U, you know, it's gonna be awesome. I'm probably gonna pick up Lego.
I'm on the fence on that too. I think
City deal.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna get like
it does
six
look
games.
Good for what it is.
I'm really worried about. I'm thinking I'm going for like six games at launch.
No,
which...
me too. I can't wait to start my diet this holiday season with Wii Fit U. I'll start exercising again then.
Every release, every new console release. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, that and the Lego game and Pikmin, Mario, the Zombie U, and then one more that I can't recall.
Yeah, I just actually talked to Guy right before this. I was waiting for you guys, taking forever.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I asked him though, remember they said about the Zombie U thing? Like, you'll start to show up in your friends' games?
Yeah.
Or something like that? Do you think it'll be like the Reggie face when he had like that stuff? Like, do you think we'll like record that and then it'll put your avatar, I guess, for lack of a better word, in somebody else's game? Can you imagine like a mutant Dr. Fink running around? Not mutant, I guess a zombie Dr. Fink.
Yeah.
And like, you're like, wow, it really looks like him if he was a zombie. Like, that'd scare the crap out of me.
Yeah,
like,
that would freak me out.
Fink, I got a bone to pick with you, man. You just took me down after 7 minutes of surviving.
Yeah.
Like, that just sounds so cool to me.
You know, one thing I want to say about that game, though, I mean, that's probably, they probably will do that, because we're past the age of Perfect Dark where nobody wanted to, you know, to be able to actually shoot someone you knew or in that kind of thing. Because I think that was one of their fears and why they didn't include that back then. But, yeah, I'm just kind of worried. I might have said this yesterday on the podcast when we recorded episode 33, and I'm just worried that because you lose your shit when you die, you know, I mean, after 7 minutes, say you die, okay, well, if you built anything up, I don't know if you get all of it back when you go find yourself or whatever. Like, I'm just curious about the scale of the game and how long people will realistically be able to last on a regular basis and how long the game itself will be, you know?
Yeah, can you beat the game?
I hope so. I mean, I want to be able to actually try to escape the apocalypse or whatever, you know?
You know, the more I think about it, I actually think like that I could definitely see that zombie thing, like I said with Reggie. Like, why else would you do that? Just for fun? Like, that seems right. So weird to me.
Well, Vitality Sensor was just for fun.
You think?
No, I have no idea.
That's like the perfect game for Vitality Sensor.
That is. It probably comes with a pack-in. Come on.
Awesome.
We just called it right here.
We confirmed it. Very
so
excited.
So that might fit for our fourth question. But our third question here, Rob, is what's your favorite moment of E3 2012?
Oh, man, I was just talking to Mrs. Mustache, Nikki, earlier about this. Miyamoto, he just makes me, you can't help but smile when that guy smiles.
Yeah.
That guy can like sell me anything right now. I wasn't a big like Nintendo person fan. Like, I never really cared about Reggie. I never cared about Iwata, or like, I didn't know anybody by name, but just the pure joy on this guy's face when he pulled like the Pikmin out of his pocket. I loved it. I don't know why. And then I just loved it. I don't know, man.
No, he's like an adorable old grandfather or something.
Oh, wait. Are you talking about like all E3?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. My favorite stuff was by far the Negative World chats. If you were not there, you missed it.
Unfortunately, no, I wasn't able to make those.
I believe I was there for day one.
Oh my gosh. During the Microsoft one was like, I don't know. It was the best. It was so good. And then we were watching some guy on on the pre-conference from the Sunday. Yeah. You know, we had like the chat going. That thing was packed too. We had like 30 people in there. And then on the Nintendo side of things, we had the video and like the sidebar. Like, somebody popped in and you know, everybody was just like talking about whatever. And some guy goes, "Purple boner." Like, what the heck?
You don't remember who that was by chance?
No, it was just, it wasn't one of us. It was somebody just online. It was like downhill from there, like for 4 days. So
makes sense.
It was just awesome. It was so good. And then Flo Rida had that golden taco during the Ubisoft thing.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was weird.
I don't know.
Is that supposed to be like his smile or something? I don't know what that is.
I don't know. That's his thing. It was just really fun. And then we're like, Aisha Tyler was doing something with her stuff. I just had a great
coming
time.
Coming out of the closet and all that stuff.
Far Cry blew my mind, and not for like, you know, all the right reasons. It's like,
okay.
Every game was like, sneak around, stab somebody in the throat, repeat.
Yeah, I know.
And like, every other video had like a guy with a gun in his mouth. It's like, Ubisoft, what are you guys doing? And then there were boobs. And like F-bombs and like S-bombs and all kinds of
crap. I'm actually really glad that there's been like some sort of, I don't know if backlash is quite the right word, but there's been, people have noticed that this E3 has been like especially just brutal and violent and just like, I think they're, because they can't just wow us with graphics since there's not new hardware, they're trying to just like go for shock value instead.
Yeah. I mean, it may not be great press, but it's still press. So on sure. One hand, it kind of works, but
I don't know. And like, just every game had like all the same stuff. Like, I'm not a shooter fan.
Like threat stabbing E3 or something.
How many shooters were there? There were at least 20, right? Like, well, legit.
Probably.
I'm serious.
Probably.
Like, so many.
I mean, across all platforms. Yeah.
The sad thing is, like, regardless of what the game was or its original genre, like, Resident Evil is now like a shooter, and Tomb Raider is now like an all-out shooter, and then Splinter Cell like became a shooter, and then even that game, that Watch Dogs game, which I thought looked really, really interesting, the part where it started to lose me Well, the part where it started to lose me was like towards the last third, where it was like, and now we're just going to start shooting things and cars are blowing up.
And it was pretty cool for real time, but I mean, yeah, it didn't seem, I guess I was just missing a reason that he was doing this. Like there was no indication of why I should care about this character from that trailer.
Yeah, that's true. And you don't even know if like he's, that was a cool game. That's probably like one of the coolest games I saw there, but I really don't think we'll see it on Nintendo ever.
No.
Speaking of things that might be missing, Rob, was there something that was missing from the show for you?
If you talk to, this is like getting into my topic a little bit, but all the games we were like, hey, what games do you think are going to come out? We have that, you know, the Predicta, is it Predictathon or Predictathon? I think it's both, right? It says Predictathon or
Predict-a-ton.
So we talked about like all these games we hope would be there. Like I was like, oh, Metroid Dread. And everybody's like, oh, Star Fox, Metroid Project. Everyone's like, oh, New Zelda. It's like, I guess we were missing like a big surprise game like that for the Wii. But again, this is getting into my topic a little bit, but I really think that the stuff we didn't see this year, we're going to see eventually, and it's going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, oh man, surprise. I haven't seen this game yet. Like that's going to be all next year and the year after that. Like if they showed snippets of it right now, you'd be like, oh, well, we heard about that last year.
Right.
Well, yeah, hack true. It for a year, you get a new system, you get Pikmin, you get Mario, and you get a bunch of other games, and the next year you get surprised.
Yeah, I mentioned that a little bit on the podcast yesterday. Yeah, I think they're just holding their cards. That way they have all sorts of things to show us and not just, you know.
Look at that P100 game, how excited. That's gotten so much buzz over the past couple of days. Nobody knew anything about that. They didn't show it at the conference.
It's June right now. I bet you we're going to have another Nintendo Direct by August, and they're going to have more new things, like some great games that are coming out in, you know, Q1 of 2013. You know, we're going to start seeing that just in August already.
Sure.
Hopefully Animal Crossing.
I asked really quick on the board. I don't know if I got an answer anywhere, but Nintendo is Japan first. I think we forget that type of thing. Whereas like Microsoft and Sony, I don't know how everything sells everywhere, but I'm pretty sure like Microsoft and Sony are like American crowd first. Like, is TGS a bigger show for them than E3?
I don't think so anymore.
I don't think so.
No, I think pretty much now. Okay. I think they just do their own thing.
I think that's so cool. Say,
don't they like not even participate in TGS all the time?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I'm making stuff up then. Whatever.
Well,
but you are right that they don't necessarily, like, for instance, they weren't going to talk about Monster Hunter and Pokemon at E3 because those are things they're going to save for a Japan-centric conference.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And those are things that might potentially be exciting for a lot of fans, even over here, but not nearly as many.
So, yeah, so speaking of all these different conferences, Rob, how did you feel about, you know, Nintendo splitting their info and everything, their hype over multiple conferences this year, the slow burn?
We didn't have a lot of information on the console itself initially, and I think them getting that Sunday thing out there got the ball rolling quicker for people, and then explain some questions that, you know, give us some answers to some questions that we had. And like, if they had to spend a half an hour at the conference showing, like, hey, this is a new controller. Hey, this is why it's called the Wii U gamepad. Hey, here's the Miiverse. Hey, look, you can do video with it. Here's this non-specific action figure. You know, stuff like that. Like, if they did all that stuff on E3, be like, okay, well, where are the games? You know? Like, we got pretty much all games for E3. And people still complain. Whatever. But I think that, you know, getting that out of the way early was a great move. Like I said, I got the ball rolling. Then they had the whole Wii thing, or Wii U, however you think it went. They still had that, and then they had the whole 3DS thing, and they are different consoles. So did Sony talk about like Vita stuff at all? Really?
Not hardly at all.
So that whole
I think
console,
they had basically just the Assassin's Creed spinoff, and
so that handheld went largely ignored for them. They just ignored it basically.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, because people were saying, you know, that they were gonna, you know, really make a push for why you should buy a Vita, and at the very least they thought they might announce a price drop for it, because so much for the 3DS, you know. But but no, none of that happened. I mean, there was that Assassin's Creed, like I said, and then I think just basically the understanding that the Smash Brothers clone will play on Vita, and that's pretty much it.
Let's jump into your topic there, Rob.
Oh, you need any more questions? No questions?
Just the five questions.
okay.
Although it may seem like more to some. Although you had good answers, so I'm not complaining. But
sorry.
Okay. No, I just want to make sure you get to say what you want to say, you know?
All right. Well, I'm not going to have much to say here. We can just bounce back and forth a little bit, like all the time.
No, so you wanted to talk about the dangers of hype.
The dangers of hype. This is a dangerous thing. We are living in a time of a hype epidemic, if you will. don't laugh at that. It's true.
A world on the brink of hype epidemic. One hype. Man.
Yep.
And a tablet controller.
There you have it. Ooh. No, it's it affects everyone, and no one is safe from it.
Like STDs.
Well, kind of, but not really. So the dangers of hype. It affects everyone. And no
is anyone safe?
No, nobody's safe.
Oh, God.
It can get you at any time. it's worse than Zombie U. No, anyway. So people start talking about all this crap, and you do like the predict-a-thon thing, and people are like, hey, what games do you think is going to come out? And everyone starts talking about what games they think are coming. And before you know it, you're expecting that game just because somebody mentioned it. So
like the Star Fox Metroid thing.
Yeah. Like, people, how can you be disappointed off a rumor that didn't come true? Like, I can start a rumor right now. I was going to start a rumor. This is for real. I was going to go online and feed the internet a rumor that Michael Clark Duncan was going to be the Killer Croc in the next Batman movie and see how far it got. Because he would be awesome as Killer Croc, you know, and just see how far it could go. But like, that's basically what like the Star Fox Metroid thing was.
Yeah.
There's like no basis for it.
Can I list it as like a pleasant surprise announcement that there was no Metroid Star Fox game?
I guess so.
Okay. That's my favorite part of E3 then.
So why do you think that we're predisposed to build ourselves up so much? Why can't we just take things with a grain of salt and calm the hell down?
Because it's an exciting time and a new console breeds new possibilities, and you start thinking about, you know, what this thing can do and what we'll get to do with it. And before you know it, just spins out of control. And this doesn't just happen with, you know, video game stuff. It happens with movies. It happens with, you know, you got a vacation coming up that's a few months off and you're like, oh, it's going to be so exciting. And you know, then it rains one day and you're like, well, this kind of sucks, you know? So, I mean, like, I don't know, man. It's just, it's a bad idea. The hype thing.
What can we do to keep ourselves in check?
Well, I mean, if it's video games, you've got a pile of games to play right now, I'm sure. And we're always talking about backlogs. Got those things to go on. And I mean,
I've got Okami now.
Yeah, play that thing. Get in the club.
You've not played it before?
No, never. And I kind of came across it randomly, but I still have Xenoblade to polish off. So
right.
I just played Okami for the first time, like around Christmas. It was very good.
Yeah, I know this isn't a very good presentation, but I mean, and you can just go to the game. You can go to this game store like any day and buy a new game, and it's new to you, and it's out now.
Yeah.
You know, pick up a game you haven't played. Go look at the Negative World game rankings, and oh, Red Steel 2, I haven't played that. I don't even know how good that is, but whatever.
Oh, I liked it. It was good.
Well, I never played it.
I didn't play the first one.
That's right. I own that too now. I forgot I did because I was at a something called the Disc Replay. I don't know if you guys have that anywhere near you, but they have them in Indiana, and I was there a few weeks ago, and I just walked in, and it was like, I think I got it for $6.
Really?
A really good, clean copy, too. I made sure to look at the disc first, with the instruction manual, everything, and that stupid-ass sticker I managed to peel off with no crap on it, so
yeah.
Red Steel 2, nice copy for $6.
Wow.
Damn good deal. Yeah. I couldn't turn it down. Deal. Yeah.
So yeah, I guess just my suggestion is, I mean, we've all got games to play, games to finish, games to start, and there's games that we haven't played that are out there now. And I'm the only person besides one of you guys said earlier, you just reserved it. Last Story is out in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's a game we were waiting for. That's a game we've all been waiting for, and it's out on the 20th.
Well, we hope, right? I mean, I think it seems that there's like some uncertainty about the actual release date.
Because really?
I keep seeing, I know in GameStop it says like the 20th.
Yeah. Or,
but I know a lot of other places listed as like July 10th.
Those so. People.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I should have probably asked while I was in there today.
No, I always thought June 20th, but.
But they will send our phones a text message, right?
Yeah, or a lady will call us. Hi, this is so-and-so from GameStop. Your order of The Last Story is in tomorrow. Like, yeah.
Are you that lady?
I'm not that lady, no.
Close enough.
I'm a mere man. Oh, a boy.
So, okay, so sticking with your topic for a little bit longer. So we know that you're saying that one of the main dangers of hype is that, I mean, just, there's never, you can never avoid the disappointment with getting excited about something. Like,
if you get overhyped, like, I don't think anyone could come out of any E3 or something like that. If you let your mind wander that far, there's no way you'll be excited.
And I think that's why I enjoyed this E3 more than other people seem to, because I just, you know, I was working and then I, you know, got home and I mean, I was so busy at work. I didn't even think about E3 that much. I got home. I got excited. I turned my TV on, my DVR, and I just started watching it and I got to see Pikmin and that was cool. And I wasn't trying to think of like, what the hell game's next? Like with movies too. I mean, I'm not bad at guessing what's going to happen, but I don't spend a lot of time trying to think of it. I just enjoy it as it's coming in like real time, you know?
Yeah.
And the only time I really felt disappointed during the show was when they kind of panned out for that, the fireworks show at the end. I was expecting something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting them to stick with the fireworks, so that kind of fell flat with me. But I mean, besides that, I mean, I was just like cool, the Lego game and this and that, and like even and people are complaining about these ports that are going to be coming, but A, I've never played them, so there's definitely an audience, and B, I just think it's cool that they're coming. So like it was still a surprise to me because who knows what kind of third-party support we're going to get. So I mean, yeah, it's amazing how some people get so worked up, and I mean, people get, you know, we're passionate about Nintendo. It's going to happen. I mean, as the Wii U nears, I'm going to be going effing nuts, you know. But I think as I've gotten older, it'll be different than it was when the Wii came out. You know what I mean? But even when the Wii came out, you know, I played it a little bit when I got home at like 9 a.m. And then that night, instead of staying home to play it, I went out to hang out with a girl I was talking to. You know, like priorities are changing and and like I can just partition my hype, I guess. I can dish it out over a longer period of time and I don't have to like build up and burst.
Yeah, I mean, even with like holidays, like Christmas, just not, you know, getting excited for whatever, but just, ooh, it's 2 more months till Christmas or something like that. Your skin's gonna be crawling with like 3 weeks to go. You can't do this stuff. You just gotta, you know, put your mind elsewhere for a little bit, or, you know, think about something else, something that's there now that you can deal with.
So the best remedy for hype is to buy a game you had forgotten to get.
Or, you know, deal with stuff you already had. You don't even have to go buy anything new. Or don't even talk. Go watch some movies. I got X-Files on DVD. I got the whole set or whatever. I didn't even watch that stuff. It's like hours. Hours of stuff. I don't even need to talk about games.
Well, I think it's pretty good, too. Like, when you're hyped for a game that has previous games to it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good idea to go back and play.
Oh, I think that's worse. Ones. I think that's worse for it.
You think that's worse?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I disagree, but I'm gonna
side with Steven on this one. That's usually what I would do.
Oh, well, it's worse for me.
It's like a nicotine patch, you know. It's like a little taste.
But then, of course, there's always the risk too of like then making the new game coming like fizzle it out a little bit. Like, you know, when the next Zelda comes out, maybe I'll play a little bit of Zelda, but I won't like go through like 3 games. Like some people say when Skyward Sword came out, they were like, oh, I'm going to play through all the Zeldas right now. You know, and screw that. That's going to burn me out. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I guess it's all, I mean, I pretty much say this every episode, I think, for some reason or another, but we all are different and we all have different ways of handling things. But yeah, I think one of the rarer things is maybe to play like the entire series. That's just, I think a lot of people will get burned out, but
yeah. Like you said, we're all different.
I just want to say I'm really excited though for the Wii U. I'm so effing psyched. That and the 3DS and just what's going on, man. I'm gonna shut up. I've talked so much last episode and already, but I'm just gonna retread here. But damn, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm trying not to get too pumped, but try to keep a level head, I guess, with it all.
I think it'll probably get more so for me as release date approaches.
I think what I should do is get my copy of Okami and get my copy of Red Steel 2 and put them in glass with a little hammer. And then I'll put on it, you know, in case of hype, break glass. So I'll just be able to go to that when I get too amped up over Wii U.
You know, Okami's a long game there.
It is a long game.
It's you should not put that in glass. You should probably put it in your Wii.
Well, Xenoblade is in there and that's...
Oh, okay.
I'm like 42 hours in, and I think I'm only like 40% through the game.
Oh, yeah,
One of our buddies who's not on the board, the old man in Zelda, and I, one of our buddies. Lou's on the board. Yeah, Lou's on the board. Yeah. One of our other friends. He's on one of the other like non-Nintendo board that spawned from the IGN exodus. Nobody goes there anymore.
Nobody wants it. Did you guys see how it's been this E3?
No. Oh God.
Oh,
no.
Oh my God.
Don't even tell me.
It's like a cesspool of pus and pessimism, and
it was a cesspool before that. I can't believe it got even more cesspoolish.
Like, I mean, here's a fact, everybody. Zero, who you're gonna hear later on the show, he does not dictate and like ban people and just, he's not some sort of, you know, dictator of the site. He does not delete threads all the time or anything like that. He just lets us be who we are, you know. But we are nothing like what the IGN boards are right now, and.
Nope.
And you know what? If it really got that bad, he would do something about it, which is kind of nice. I kind of like that we are protected from that kind of crap because we pretty much have the web developer in our pocket because he's one of us too. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's nice because the guys at IGN, they could give a shit less. They just want hits. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they probably love that because that keeps people coming back if they're arguing. You know?
Absolutely. And you know what? We have a lot of people at Negative World and a lot of topics and a lot of people coming back and we don't need any of that crap.
I actually recently talked to a... site moderator about a community, and he was like, well, you know, we could try to crack down on some of these people, but we'd have to weigh what brings more people in, you know.
Yeah.
If it's and I'm just thinking like, that is, someone else should have your job then.
And I know Zero cares about, you know, he, of course he would like more people to come to the site and, you know, it just means more discussions and more topics and all that, but he would do it in many different ways, you know. Mm-hmm. There's positive ways to do it and negative ways to do it.
Right. Well, it's like, what, to me, what would even be the point of having, like, a big, huge, active community of people just being awful? Yeah, I mean, but that's why we're here.
We're probably not the same type of people at IGN either. I'm sure we're, on average, older than most of the people over there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, I always assume that, like, that age has to do with maturity, but I don't know. Sometimes you talk to the worst offenders online and they're like our age. Mm-hmm. It's like,
well, and that said too, we have a few, I think 16 to 18 year olds, on the site right now on Negative World, and they post just like you guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, right.
So, and then you got Anand, who's 99 apparently.
He's 99 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old bastard.
I cannot wait till Octo G123 signs up, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
And now somebody out there is going to make that account.
That's okay.
Oh, I know. There's going to be so many.
His first post will be, call me Grandpa. I'll be like, I'm feeling really uncomfortable with that.
Insta-ban.
That's going to be good. Oh, and one more thing before I forget. I guess, I don't know. Is my topic over? Whatever.
Yeah, we're kind of running out of time. So.
Hey, we got to remember, too, all the people complaining about stuff. We are no longer the target demo, guys. For video games, we're like passing by like 10 years.
Yeah,
on average,
right.
Aren't we?
We kind of forget that because we grew up being the demo, you know.
Yeah, stuff happens, man. We got gross stuff, but, or some of us, I guess, don't. But that's why we're still playing, you know, Pikmin and Mario and stuff.
Oh, I can tell you this: I will be Octo G when I get older. I'm going to be video game playing grandpa. Amen to that.
I think we all will. I think that they're going to keep making. We won't be the prime target audience, but I think that as gamers get older collectively, I think they'll keep making games for us.
Absolutely.
We gotta get to 80 first, though. That's quite a ways to go.
Yeah. So join us for episode 4000 when we when we look back on episode 34. But yeah, Stash, unfortunately, I think we're kind of out of time here, bud.
That's okay. But let me make it sound like I'm jumping out of a plane, and then my voice will fade out, and you can cut me like right as it gets like far away.
Sounds good.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of windy up here. I'll see you guys later.
Everybody, we're back with episode 34, and we have a second guest for the evening. We have Larry, also known as Cryogen, on the boards.
Welcome, Larry.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us. We greatly appreciate it. I'm actually pretty amazed that, you know, sometimes it can be kind of tricky to get guests who haven't been on recently on the show. And so I'm really happy with just everybody who's come to do these last two episodes with us. So thanks in advance, Larry, for your time here today.
No problem. Glad to be here.
So let's just jump in right to the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, we're going to ask you some questions about E3. And first of all, right off the bat, do you think you'll be buying a Wii U at launch?
I'll have that sucker pre-ordered and I'll be in line at midnight.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Well, then, what is your most anticipated game based on E3?
That's a tough one. It's like a three-way tie. First and foremost is obviously Pikmin 3. That one everyone's been anticipating looks really good.
Have you played the other ones, or?
I've played Pikmin 1. I can't remember if I've played 2 or not.
Okay.
My second one is Zombie U, which that was a nice surprise from Ubisoft. And then the last one is Rayman Legends.
Okay. Curveball, because the first two are also some of mine, but Rayman, I'm not so convinced on. What's your experience with the Rayman series?
Honestly, none.
No Origins?
No, I didn't even get into Origins.
What is it about the Legends that has got you interested compared to Origins? Just the how the gamepad is implemented?
That too, and plus, I've never really given Rayman just like a fresh look. I've seen everyone mention it on the board, and I've just kind of looked at it, you know, oh, cool, it's a, you know, platforming game, it looks really fun, but at the same time, the way my gaming habits are, I've already got like about three or four games I play, so it's just not one I've had time to really just focus on. With all the E3 stuff rolling around there, and I've just been looking at all the games, just look at Rayman, I'm just like, man, this is really good. I'm surprised I haven't gotten into it before.
You know, and as someone who's not into Rayman myself, I can still look at that game and that series in general and really see that there's a lot of polish and a lot of care taken with it.
Oh, definitely.
So I really expect you not to be disappointed in the end. And actually, I'm really impressed with the whole, like, musical platforming thing that they were doing. That
I barely understand how that's going to work.
When you tap to the beat, you know, these little markers that come on the screen, you have to tap them. It goes to the song, obviously, and if you miss it, I'm sure that the song takes a hit as far as how it sounds.
Okay.
But I think some of the places that you tap will affect, you know, the actual level. So, like, say Rayman goes for a jump. If you don't hit that, then, like, maybe a bridge doesn't fall down or blocks don't remove themselves.
Right.
So then Rayman would, like, hit a wall and perish, you know?
Right. It seemed like the two, like, normal players, the ones that were doing the platforming, were just basically, like, doing, like, a mad dash the whole time.
Yeah.
So do you think that that's controlled? Like, do you think that they are just, like, hitting jump?
No, that felt like Bit Trip Runner to me. Kind of like a forced...
Right, right.
Because if they slow down at all, then the song slows down.
Yeah. Well, it looked like the screen would scroll whether they were moving or not. I actually watched a separate demo where a couple of other people tried it and actually failed a couple times. And it looked like the person hit the note right on the screen, but the characters on screen just... It was during that scaling part where they had to wall jump to dodge the spikes.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't wall jump in time and hit the spikes. To me, it looked like to me is when the guy hit the note on the pad, that would actually spark all those little collectible creatures and just like shoot them off in purple. So when they would collect them, that would add to the music, kind of like the musical notes in like the Mario Galaxy games.
Sure. Okay. That's cool. And as far as Zombie U, are you a big survival horror fan, or is this going to be kind of new for you?
Oh, yeah. Resident Evil, Left 4 Dead.
Yeah,
Left 4 Dead 2. That was my first, like, foray in that. That's such a good game.
It is.
If it's anything like that, I would be probably pretty happy. But I'm actually looking forward to the differences in this game from what it seems like. You know, instead of necessarily it being just hordes of zombies coming at you, which was fun in Left 4 Dead, but, like, this seems to be a little bit more of a Walking Dead type game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You ever see that show? Yeah. I don't know what kind of story emphasis there's going to be, but... I'm sure there will be hordes of zombies at some point. You know, obviously, every zombie story has to have that. But I'm looking, like, I mean, everyone has always asked, anyone who's a fan of zombie stuff or has even seen the news lately, they ask, you know, how would I react in a zombie apocalypse? And we kind of are going to get a true guesstimate of how that might be, you know, which is kind of exciting. And I'm excited to be freaked out. Like, I don't like horror movies or, like, mainly for the violence, but I don't watch a lot of that kind of content, but I am psyched to just chatter my teeth and try to get through that game.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, Cryogen, I think I might know the answer based on what you just said and what so many other people have said, but was there a favorite moment of E3 for you this year?
Let's see. If it were for Nintendo related, it was definitely the Pikmin 3 presentation.
Okay, so the game presentation.
Yes. Well, not only that, but the way they set it up.
Yeah.
Like, the very beginning of the conference was very nicely done.
The setup is a lot of people's answers, including my own.
I think we've gotten... It's been... Absolutely everyone's, except for it was my second choice, right? So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what'd you like about the Pikmin presentation itself?
It just kind of had that Nintendo charm, just, you know, the way they just set everything up and just, you know, how people like talk about the Nintendo magic of stuff. And it was just a nice touch to add to the presentation, just kind of have the Pikmin peppered around Miyamoto when he was getting ready and just kind of have him just come out on the stage. And it looked like the E3 presentation for Nintendo was going to be like that, just made of awesomeness.
And then, you know, this isn't really one of the questions this kind of leads into question four, but kind of talk about both if you would. But what was the show missing for you then? Because do you feel like it kind of lived up to that setup?
It kind of leads into where my topic goes, but like it started off fantastic, but somehow just right on the midpoint, they just, I don't know, really, really, really dropped the ball in my opinion.
So then was there one definitive thing that they were missing, you think? Or was it just kind of a handful, or just a general how they handled it was kind of off?
Generally how they handled it, because in my opinion, like Microsoft and Sony practically handed E3 to Nintendo.
Yes, like, agreed.
Just handed it to them. There was no expectation that I had that Nintendo would just mess up. And, well, right at the end, just I was like, I took a day off for this.
Well, I guess in a way, then, it's almost, as far as, like, Nintendo as a corporation is concerned, that's kind of a good thing, then, because they still have a lot of bullets in their gun for when Sony and Microsoft actually have something stellar to show. Like, I think Nintendo had a pretty good showing, but it wasn't anything spectacular. But I still had more fun watching it than I had the other conferences. I am a Nintendo fan after all, but it had a bit more charm and everything, even if it didn't have the surprises, you know?
I think, what it comes down to, it was still, obviously we're all Nintendo fans, but it was still the most enjoyable one. But I think especially given how low the bar was set and the fact that they were going to be revealing new hardware, I just think people, some people were expecting that they would just blow it out of the water, but it was still good. It was still good.
Yeah, but that goes back to Stash's hype thing in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, completely. So, Larry, what did you think about how this year Nintendo sort of split a lot of their events and conferences over multiple days? They had the Nintendo Direct, and then they had the 3DS conference later and the roundtable and stuff. How did that feel for you?
I liked it. That kind of made E3 a much bigger event for me than mostly just Tuesday.
Right.
And on top of that, with all the stuff that I was hoping they would announce, it just looked like they had set aside plenty of time to just announce everything and just kind of get everything out for us rather than cram it into an hour-long conference and then just kind of sprinkle it around here and there.
You know, here's a question that we haven't really asked anyone else, but do you think that they're going to continue to do this going forth? How do you think they liked it? I mean, Joe, you answer too. I'm curious about everyone's response.
Oh, if I were to bet based on this week, I would say yes. I would say I feel like Nintendo was very comfortable doing it this way. Yeah, if for no other reason than, we always talk about how, I don't think it's in a bad way, but I think they always kind of march to their own drum. And I think this way it gives them a lot more control just over their message and how they want to present it and the pacing and the...
They felt quite comfortable in their skin this year.
Yes, I think so.
What about you, Larry? Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I even just watched a couple of interviews with Reggie afterwards, and he seemed very confident as far as their showing went.
And now, do you guys think that other companies are going to take the same suit? Because, next year, it would be too blanket for me to say that Sony copies everything. But, maybe Sony will do that, too. Nintendo's got a Nintendo Direct on Sunday. Well, on Saturday, we've got a Sony situation or whatever. I'm not a marketing guy, so that was a horrible name.
Sony focused.
Yeah.
Honestly, that could be nothing but good for everyone if they expand all the stuff they show. Because, really, they get their conferences that last hour and a half, whatnot. And there's just so much stuff they could show, but, they can't cram it all into there. So if they space things out, especially with, streaming now, and they can just get the live feeds going or just save stuff. There's just a lot they can put out there to keep everyone focused on it throughout the entire week.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't sure that the 3DS conference was even going to be live streamed with the video, but it was. I don't know if I had just missed the announcement beforehand, but I was expecting to just tune into one of those, when people who have access, they just do the live vlog with the tech.
Yeah.
So I was expecting to just have one of those, but then I just started poking around sites and I saw that they that Nintendo had the live stream available, so that was really cool.
Yeah, I guess that's something that we've kind of ignored talking about a little bit, or neglected, I should say. They were really with it this year as far as making sure that it was available and accessible, and Facebook this, Facebook that. I mean, it was one of the things they spent too much time talking about on the conference was you can go to our Facebook page,
Yeah, they're pushing that pretty hard these days.
I also just really hate the fact that everyone has to have a Facebook page or Facebook these days to function. Facebook and the internet should not be synonymous with each other, but that's a whole different thing. But
what about Twitter? Because to me, that's even further.
Well, Twitter's kind of like what they're doing with their Miiverse. People are saying, oh, who needs Facebook on my Nintendo? It's a lot more like Twitter. It's not Facebook, It's little blips. It's Swapnote, which is Swapnote's kind of like a Twitter, too. I think I like Twitter better than Facebook just because it's less obtrusive. It's blatantly public. It's not trying to get you to be public constantly when you're trying to be private. There's a whole different mentality with Twitter, and I think that'll work really well. I think if Nintendo tried to do a Facebook on their thing, that would just go, it would be a train wreck.
Not even because it's Nintendo. I just don't think anyone else should do a Facebook. I think the world only has room for one.
And for hopefully a short amount of time.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, not that I'm plotting against them, but I just would not be sad to see Facebook become MySpace.
Anyway.
Yeah, I could definitely derail like crazy. Let's get on to your main topic, because I think this is an important one for us to talk about. And I don't want to be so secret about this. I want us to be out in the open with this topic and Nintendo secrecy. So, like, what are you thinking about that? What did this E3 bring to your mind?
Well, I mean, as every Nintendo fan ought to know, that Nintendo is pretty much all about secrets. I mean, they will not wait. They'll wait to the very last moment before revealing stuff. And that's perfectly fine. I like Nintendo likes keep, because when they keep secrets, I mean, it builds up to just one big bang that we're all just drooling for. And last year, that's something I think Nintendo did. I mean, they showed a little bit of the Wii U, but they didn't reveal everything. And then the extremely long year that it was from last year to now, it's just been rumors building up, just like tension building up, just wanting to know what's Nintendo working on. Of course, they're tight-lipped, so, you know, all we can do is speculate, hope, and whatever. And just the way it was building up to this E3, you'd think that Nintendo would come out and just blow our minds, because just come out and debunk all these rumors or confirm the rumors, do what, and just show us what they've been working on. And that's kind of what bummed me out so much about their E3 presentation, was like, I was ready to see, you know, what all they've been working on in tandem with 3D or with third party developers, what all the Nintendo Network was going to be about, you know, how their system's just going to just, you know, completely just blow our minds. And
see, you could kind of relate that to Stash's topic about hype, but really in another way, to stick with your secrecy thing, how do you feel that, you know, them being secret, and I mean, they are incredibly secretive. They're probably more secretive than any other company, and successful at it too. How do you feel that that affects their bottom line and affects their fan base? Do you think that, you know, we just, I don't know, tolerate it and it's not as bad as we make it out to be? Or do you think it actually can hurt them in the long run?
It can hurt them. I mean, if you take this past, or if you take their E3 conference, like in the chat room, we were all just like drooling right at the end. They were talking about Nintendo Land and they were starting to wrap up and they're like, okay, here comes a big announcement. Here comes a big announcement. And then right at the end of Nintendo Land, Reggie's like, this is our conference. Thank you for coming. Enjoy the rest of the show. And like the whole mood of the chat room was just like, WTF. I mean,
yeah,
just,
I think that's been everyone's reaction, really.
And then if you listen to the applause, it was like the most deflated applause you've ever heard in any E3
yeah,
conference.
Yeah, even I picked up on that. It was, people were like,
because I think they were genuinely confused. They were like, is it over? Like,
I don't think it was so much confusion as it was disappointment. People were ready to get up and cheer, but then nothing happened. And just some people, it sounded like some people were clapping just out of politeness. I mean, I don't want to make it sound so bad, but that's how it sounded.
So they didn't, you know, they didn't show some sort of big surprise. Okay. But is it, I mean, is it so bad? Like, did we get enough good info that really, I mean, like, are they being open enough right now with what's going to happen in launch? I think I'm pretty content with it. I mean, there's like Stash and I both agree that there's about 6 games that we want to buy at launch or launch window, which is quite a few for me in a console ever. I mean, I can't remember the last time I won that many games. My 3DS, I barely bought Pilot Wings, you know, when that came out. So, I mean, they are being secretive, but I'm,
Well, and I think it's, you know, it's as you said, we know that the games are going to be coming, and we know, in fact, that even in the short term at launch, yeah, there's all kinds of good content. I think it's more so even just like the pacing and the delivery method, as Larry was saying, just like leading up to the very end of the show, the way that they spent all that time on Nintendo Land, it really felt like it was the sort of slow ramp up to that last, you know, it's so many different companies do it at their conferences where they just have like that one last game that probably isn't ready for 16 months, but they show that little 60-second
the sizzle
trailer. Yeah. Right. And that's, so this is, you know, as we're saying, so if Nintendo, you know, if they're making a conscious effort to avoid teasing stuff that's not going to be ready, then they probably should have, you know, gone about how they spaced out their conference a little differently, because it felt so sure that there was going to be one of those at the end, and then there just wasn't.
Yeah. You know, maybe, okay, that P100 game, I haven't done too much research on that, but that's apparently a really awesome-looking game, is it not? It's kind of a real-time strategy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, would you guys have been, even though that's kind of an off game where, you know, nobody, it's not a part of a franchise anyone's aware of, it looks good, but it's not anything that anyone would go crazy over. It's not a Smash Brothers or anything. But do you think even that would have been good enough if they had some sort of, like, you know, loud music, fast cuts, kind of P100, you know?
That probably would have been better. I mean, because just something to keep the excitement going. I mean, just, it looks like they, I don't know, the steam kind of fell out of it at the end.
Yeah, because as you said, Steven, I think it probably would have been a matter of just anything. Just like anything new and a little bit different. I think something like that, if they had just said, you know, it's by Platinum Games, they probably could have showed like Pong and people would have been like, Platinum Games take on Pong, you know? But, and you're right. Like, I don't think even just as a game, I think Nintendo probably is right to assume that P100 is not necessarily going to like set the world on fire. Like that's, I think it looks really good. I think it looks interesting, but you know, it's not necessarily the kind of thing that's going to be, you know, front page headline news after the conference or anything. I think they also might have had a bit of a sticky situation because the gameplay looks a little reminiscent of Pikmin.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing that Nintendo may have not wanted to muddy the waters, you know, whatever that might mean on their end. You know, frankly, I don't think it would have been that big a deal. I don't think people would have looked at one game or the other and said like, well, if I get P100, I don't need Pikmin or vice versa. But that may have been why it wasn't a part of the conference itself.
Larry, what do you think about this? Because I mentioned this a little bit on the podcast last episode. And what if they had done some sort of like, again, a quick cut, loud music kind of trailer where they showed silhouettes, you know, maybe of these things that we saw in the Nintendo Land. So we assumed, oh yeah, well of course Yoshi and Mario, but then we started seeing other characters that we haven't maybe seen in a while. So not even a single clip of like a Star Fox game or you know, an F-Zero title or something, but suddenly you just see these characters and then maybe it says, you know, and then like it just bam, 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 you know, like something to show us that, you know what, we haven't forgotten about these franchises. So not even about a game. Do you think that they could have gotten away with just teasing even just ideas, or did they have to show us a game?
I think they probably would have to have shown the game. And of course the big thing was Retro. Everyone was anticipating something for Retro.
Yeah.
And I mean, Retro is like Nintendo's next biggest developer, and even if it was just a teaser and, you know, we would only see like maybe 10 seconds of something and then it wouldn't say, you know, it'd say it wouldn't be available to like winter 2013, that would have been better than absolutely nothing, because that'd be something to look forward to. And I think that's what the problem of the conference was, is that of course they showed some of the features of the Wii U and, you know, some of the games to look forward to. Of course everything launch window, that's good and well, but you have to have something for people to say, oh my god, I cannot wait for that. I mean, 2013 winter, that's cool. I'll wait for it.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll finish out this this round of the podcast with another question I just thought of. I want to hear you guys, your thoughts on, if you could make that final sizzle of Nintendo's E3, what would you have done? And I'll give you guys a second to think, because I thought of something just now. We don't know what Retro's going to do. I would be completely content if they did another Prime. I loved the Prime games. That's what got me into Metroid in the first place. I never even played Super Metroid until Prime 3 was coming out. And I can just imagine, you know, with these HD graphics that Nintendo's got now, you know, you kind of see maybe the camera's panning over some dirt and some sort of alien landscape, and you just start hearing, like, maybe a few blast sounds that sound kind of familiar or something like that. Maybe you see a shadow of a Metroid go over the ground, you know, and then just the camera just kind of stops on the ground just as a foot steps into frame, and it's, you know, Samus Aran, and then it just, you know, boom! 2013 or whatever. Would say 10 seconds of that, would that, you know, wet your whistle?
Definitely.
Yeah, that just wet mine. I'm just excited. Yeah, I can't wait for Metroid now, you know. But do you guys have any ideas? I mean, I know this is on the spot and whatever, but anything that, or maybe a certain game that you would have loved teased, or just a franchise, anything that, what's your opinion, your personal preference?
Larry, do you have one?
Metroid would be fantastic for me. I think we are very much overdue for a really good Star Fox or F-Zero game. Mm-hmm. I'm like very much overdue. So as much as I loved Metroid, I would have probably preferred to have seen a teaser for one of those two instead.
Mm-hmm. What about both? Crossover.
Yeah, I think
and the crossover would have been cool too.
Instead of the land battle, they race.
So Star Wars Episode 1 pod racers with a Star Fox skin or something. That was kind of a fun game. I remember playing that back in the day. It was all right.
People loved that game.
Yeah. They probably liked it better than the movie, but that's a whole other thing.
I would also agree, for me it would have been, If there was one franchise that would have had me especially psyched, would have also been Metroid. I loved the Prime games. I think, I know I'm in the minority, but I loved Other M even more. I would probably be happy if Retro was doing a game in that vein, because then maybe they could remove the elements that everyone hated, you know, maybe not make the story as whatever and give it more of the Retro seal of approval, and then maybe everyone would be happy. But so I would definitely go with Metroid. I think your idea for Prime is great. And I also think you raised an excellent point with just, as you said, with just the silhouettes or just basically showing the characters. That might have gone really far too, because so many people, you know, I think it's somewhat unfounded, but they just get concerned that, like, if they haven't heard from a Nintendo franchise in 3 or 4 years, for some reason, they just start assuming that it's dead.
In Nintendo Land, no news is not good news, you know? You just... not Nintendo Land, the game. I was kind of using that as a pun, but...
I got confused there.
Sorry about that. But no, the F-Zero thing is a big concern for people because we haven't heard anything about that, even though they did release one of the things for the 3DS ambassadors, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could probably... It depends on how you look at it. The fact that there's that F-Zero included in Nintendo Land, it depends on if you look at it by saying, well, do they think that this counts, so to speak, and now they don't need to make an F-Zero game? Did they think that they've satiated the F-Zero fans with whatever? Or is this an indication that yes, F-Zero is still on their mind, and perhaps a good indication that they are working on another F-Zero game. So that those two different ways to look at it there. But you know, it's funny because as I'm talking about how so many people get worried when they don't hear from a Nintendo franchise in just even 3 or 4 years, at the same time, we always are hearing about how Nintendo just relies on the same franchises all the time and supposedly just churns them out. So basically, I guess just people are stupid and like to complain. I hate arriving at that conclusion again, but anyway, you know, I mean, aside from like F-Zero and Star Fox, are there any franchises that might be Nintendo secrets at the moment that we even think maybe potentially? Because I mean, Kid Icarus had, you know, 25 years off and then that came back. Do you think they might be keeping another good Nintendo secret with, you know, Ice Climbers or whatever?
No, I was thinking of that, but that was a joke in my head.
Yeah.
Need another freaking Earthbound.
Was that purely a Nintendo property? I didn't pay close attention back in that day.
Which one?
Earthbound.
Oh, to my knowledge, yeah. I mean, I don't recall it being anywhere else, but you know, it was just like the Mother series. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, my understanding was just that the reason we haven't seen remakes or anything like that is due to a lot of licensing issues with a lot of references.
Yeah, copyrights.
Right. Yeah, with copyrights. But yeah, I guess there is nothing stopping them from making a new one.
Yeah, I mean...
So, now when that... What if it just showed a black screen and then a yo-yo flicking on and off? You know,
oh my goodness,
that would have blown people's mind. I've never even played Earthbound, but that would have got my, you know, hairs on edge.
I've never even played one either, but could you imagine? I mean, that would have done it, because there's just so many people, I think, probably haven't even played it themselves, but they just enjoy being like,
well, people have played Smash too, so they kind of know. So imagine like a black screen, a yo-yo flicking on, backing on, oh, on the screen, then all of a sudden you hear PK fire, and then that's it.
Oh man,
mind blown. Everyone, you know, jizzes everywhere.
I think you need to work for Nintendo PR.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Thanks.
I think you've just had two ideas here that would have completely changed people's opinion of their conference. Whether or not they're good ideas, I think they would have certainly won people over.
However, well, I appreciate that comment. The one downside to my ideas is that Earthbound does not exist. Metroid Prime might down the line, but...
But even think about, like, these days, because, again, here we have a bunch of people talking. Larry, did you play the Earthbound games?
I played Earthbound.
Okay.
Just the one that got localized for the U.S.,
okay, so if I'm not mistaken, would that, hear me out here, could that potentially lend itself to like an open world RPG kind of thing? Because wasn't the whole idea that you were just like a kid in a neighborhood?
Yeah, you're just a kid in a neighborhood chosen by fate to save the world. And it was a modern world, so it, you know, wasn't like fantasy or futuristic technology. It was just like just a kid in a small town.
Right,
and
so potentially, go on.
Oh, yeah, that could make a pretty good, I guess you're talking about like a multi, like an MMO type game or something.
Oh. No, just, and it, maybe open world was even the wrong term, but just sort of like, just a game that had a real emphasis on exploration.
Like a Miiverse RPG, maybe, where, you know, you and four friends can link up in the same kind of space or something, you know.
Oh, that'd be cool too.
That'd be fine. The only thing that work against that is, at least in my opinion, you know, the Earthbound game had a pretty deep engrossing story, so it's not one you could really, you know, drop in and drop out of.
Yeah, I don't know if you would need to have a reliance on online multiplayer or anything, but just I think compared to the SNES era, now we can have a game that was just so much bigger in scope that I think if it's, you know, based on the supposedly mundane modern world, now since you have that ability to make a game that's so huge in scope that you can encompass more of the real, quote-unquote, real modern world, I think that would work well.
Yeah, on that note, we actually are kind of quite over time.
Yeah.
But that was, we had some really interesting thoughts at the end there. I like that. So, Larry, you know, thanks for your time, bud.
No problem. Glad to be
here.
Thank
you for joining us, Larry.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And so, very cool. So thanks for joining us again, and come back soon, okay?
Absolutely.
Will do.
All right. Well, then we're going to take one final break before we talk to the head honcho.
The man himself.
Zero. Our site owner, Zero. So we'll be back shortly. All right, and we're back for the final segment of episode 34. We have negativeworld.org's site owner and creator and genius and all that, Zero, as you guys probably know him, but his name's Andrew. Let's give him a hand. Let's give him a master hand. Zero, Andrew, we're going to ask you 5 questions. We've already kind of talked about this, but we're going to ask you 5 questions, and then we'll get into your topic. So starting right off the bat, will you be buying a Wii U at launch?
Yes, I will. I'm not in the best financial situation of my life, so...
Okay, so it's not Nintendo, it's other things.
Yeah, if I have the money, which I probably will... I will be buying the Wii U at launch. There's other things too, though. Like, my girlfriend's going to Europe for a year and she would really like if I would come visit. So it would be kind of hard to be like, I don't have the money to come to Europe because I bought a game console.
You can video chat with her.
Yeah, you just talk to her over Miiverse. What's the problem?
I don't think she's going to be buying one in the middle of her research, but yeah, definitely have plans to. I think even though E3, like the initial, my initial reaction was a little disappointment. When I actually thought about the lineup, I was like, there's actually a lot of games I want.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. Is there any one game in particular that you're most excited about coming out of E3?
Pikmin Part 3, which Pikmin 2, I accidentally started saying, I guess because it was on my mind, is one of my favorite games ever. So Pikmin 3, like, we kind of knew about it for years now, but it wasn't official until this E3. So it wasn't a surprise, but it was like, finally, yes, it's real, it's happening.
We knew Miyamoto was thinking about it, you know, maybe messing with some assets or something, but we didn't know what they were doing, the angle they were going for, how far along it was. We got a much clearer window, a clearer view of all that just a few days ago.
Yeah, and I mean, they didn't really give too many details, but they did say something which I liked hearing a lot. They said something along the lines of, this is just one of the modes. I don't know how familiar you guys are with these games, but the first Pikmin really only had the one mode. It was just a single player game, and it was fun, but once you beat it, you were kind of done. The second one had a bunch of modes. It had single player, it had the cooperative, like, challenge maps, or you could do them single player. Had the battle mode. So when I heard all this multiple mode thing, I was like, oh, so they're going to do it more long too, where they're going to pack a bunch in. Yeah, that's probably my most anticipated.
Real quick, I got to ask, maybe I should look at the thread again and you maybe said something, but I've only played Pikmin for like an hour, and I was thinking of maybe looking into this Pikmin 2 business that's coming out on Saturday or Sunday. So do you think I should just jump right in and buy that, the Select or whatever it is, the Uplay Control one? Should I have played Pikmin 1 first, or should I just wait till Pikmin 3? Because I'm planning on getting Pikmin 3. It looks really good to me, and I like that kind of gameplay now. My tastes have changed. I think I would really enjoy it now. You know, a decade ago, I wasn't really convinced that Pikmin would be fun for me.
Well, I guess it depends, like, your own taste. Like, for me, it's hard to play a game in a series knowing that I'm going to be playing another one just a couple months later in the same series. So in that sense, I would say, like, I would probably just wait myself instead of, like, rushing to play the second one. But the second one is really good, and it probably works really well with the Wii remote. So I don't think you could go wrong with that.
Okay, so I win either way, really. And of course, if I didn't pick it up, I could always pick it up later.
Yeah, go back and play it.
Okay, well, let's go to question 3. What was your favorite moment of E3?
That's hard to say. I was actually at work during the conference, so I was kind of trying to watch it when I could, but it was like the volume was low, and I kept switching between work and the conference, so I didn't really see as much as I would have liked to. And then I haven't really followed up too much on E3 since then. I guess, like, the only, like, big positive surprises to me were Pikmin 3, which wasn't really a surprise, and then the Platinum Games title that sort of mysteriously was not at the conference and had to be announced later. But I mean, I found out Nintendo's even publishing that game, so it's kind of weird that they just didn't have it at the conference.
Yeah, it was on Spike TV or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, the trailer came out later, and yeah, it was debuted on TV somewhere.
Maybe that's part of Nintendo's stretching things out, slash, like, just their whole... They seem to have a new kind of style about this. And I guess, well, actually, I don't even know what they would have got from Spike.
I don't know.
I have no idea. I know that Reggie went and sat down with Jeff Keighley shortly after the conference, but they had already revealed P100, I think, by the time they did the interview. So
it looks cool, though, and that's another thing that, like, even though E3 was going on, it was kind of like weird and a little disappointing. But then when I think back on it, I'm like, Nintendo is publishing a Platinum Games game, which is a really cool thing in my eyes. I mean, hopefully it will lead to more collaborations between the two. I think Nintendo's even, I mean, when Nintendo publishes a game, they usually work very closely with the developer too. So they might even be, it's like a second party game, you know, and these games usually turn out very well. So
what Platinum games are you especially a fan of?
Well, it's interesting because I was just thinking that because, I mean, they used to be Clover. So they made Okami and Beautiful Joe, both of which I liked a lot. More so Okami. I mean, Beautiful Joe I thought was fun. It's not like my favorite game, but it was a fun game. I think since they've become Platinum games, I don't like their games quite as much. Like, I have both Mad World on the Wii and Infinite Space on the DS. And Mad World I thought was like fun, but ultimately kind of shallow, and it's only like 5 hours long or something. So, you know, I liked the game, but it wasn't one of my favorite Wii games. And then Infinite Space I thought was a cool concept, but it just kind of got boring. Like, I played a couple hours of it and it got boring after a while. So I don't know. Okay. Like, I don't even know if I'm like necessarily a big fan of their games. I've never actually played their PS3 360 games, which is weird because I have a PS3. I just never got around to Bayonetta and Vanquish, I believe. Mm-hmm. I do want to try Vanquish. It looks like a really cool shooter. But yeah, so I don't know if I'm the biggest fan of their output since they've become Platinum games, but I do like their games, and I really liked their games when they were Clover Studios. So I think working with Nintendo, they could probably make a really cool game.
Real quick, do you think that this P100, it looks like the art style, or at least the design of the characters, is similar to Beautiful Joe, and it looks like sometimes like kind of comic booky words pop up and stuff. Do you think that this is a sequel of any kind, or do you think it's just sort of got some similar elements?
I don't think it's a sequel, but it does have, yeah, the comic book style, and yeah, it's probably just developers reuse similar themes and ideas and stuff in games.
Gotcha. All right, so do you think there was anything from this E3 that was missing in your opinion? Either like a game announcement or just a feeling in general that you didn't get?
I think there was actually a lot that was missing, and that was probably the problem with Nintendo's conference. But I mean, obviously my topic is Retro Studios, and we'll get to that later, but it would have been nice to see whatever they're working on. I guess they just weren't ready. I guess even though ignoring like all these games, because Nintendo clearly wasn't ready to show off games for 2013 for the Wii U, which is fine. I think what's bothering me the most is that even with the games they've shown and the fact that they have this hopefully better online system and it's more unified and all this, like, they still didn't really mention how online's working into any of their games. And I think they've announced they have Nintendo Land, New Super Mario Wii U, Pikmin 3. I think that was all the Nintendo first-party games, right, that were at the conference?
Sounds right. Mm-hmm. Well, Wii Fit, I guess, too.
Oh, yeah, the Wii Fit. So those are games, I mean, the three I mentioned, they're games, all of them have multiplayer. Some of them are really focused on the multiplayer, and there wasn't any online announcement for any of the games. And that's not to say there won't be, but I'm kind of skeptical. I'm assuming that we're not going to see from Nintendo much online, at least at the beginning. Like, I'm sure Mario Kart will be online whenever they make that, and probably Smash Brothers will try to be online again. But it seems like there's still kind of hesitant to really jump in and just put online and like all of their multiplayer games that would appear to be well made for online.
That is kind of a bummer if you think about it, because we are kind of in an age now where everyone's ready. I mean, not that everyone has internet or a good connection, but still, like, everybody, it's been around so long that it should be a part of a majority of their user base.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm kind of worried because I think sometimes Nintendo, whether they believe it themselves or are just using it to kind of excuse the lack of online, I think sometimes they point to other stuff as being sort of the alternative. And a lot of times it's local, you know, co-op or local competitive gaming, which I love. Like, I would never want to trade local just to get online. If I had to choose one, I'd choose local, but I'd rather have both. But I think I'm kind of worried that maybe this, like, what's it called? Asynchronous gaming between, like, the screen and, like, the normal controls. I kind of suspect that they're going to mention that a lot in games that don't have online as kind of an excuse for not having online. Like, well, we have a whole new way to play, and, you know, everyone needs to be around the controller, and this person's going to be doing things on the screen that affects that, and, like, sort of like, this is our alternative to
right. Like, why would you,
what the other people are doing.
Why would you want boring old online when you could have asynchronous gameplay?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, to me, that's two different things. Like, you could have both.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Well, you can, and you could do asynchronous online as well, you know?
Oh, yeah. Perhaps even easier than locally.
Yeah, now with the whole, like, video chat, voice chat capabilities that they're apparently pushing, there really would be no excuse to not have that online as well.
Yeah, and I would hope so, because I think the new Super Mario Brothers U, again, that's one of my most anticipated games. I think it's going to be awesome, but I just don't have enough real life gamer friends who are going to come over with any regularity and play that. But so I would love to be able to play with, like, you know, you guys.
No, I'm the same way.
Yeah, I mean, they showed off all these social online features for the new Super Mario, so there's obviously something online. Like, they showed off the world map, and there's, like, users' comments about the stages, and I guess you're going to be able to write stuff, and maybe your friends would see it, or just strangers or whatever. But I'm also kind of worried that maybe the social aspect is going to replace actual online gaming in their eyes. Like, oh, why do you need to play with your friend in Mario when you could watch their ghost and see the comments they made on the stage and, you know, sure, all these kind of things.
If they try crap like that, I'm pretty sure it'll bite them in the ass real quick.
Yeah, probably.
They'll get a backlash that they won't like.
That's true, but, like, when has something that leads to a backlash ever stopped them from trying it anyway? Like, some things were obviously going to lead to a backlash, and they just do it anyway.
We'll find out with the Wii launch if they learned anything from the 3DSs.
Yeah.
That'll probably be the next lesson to see if they've learned from. But, you know, one thing that's interesting that they've kind of changed their ways from, as far as lessons learned, perhaps, is that they, you know, they split the conferences across kind of four conferences across a few days. How do you feel about that?
I'm not sure. You'll have to remind me what the four conferences. The only ones I know of were the actual press conference and the 3DS conference.
There was the Nintendo Direct, the main E3 conference, the developers roundtable that they have, and then the 3DS.
Okay. Well, and my understanding is that they kind of always do the developer roundtable, right? So that's not really new.
No, but it just when it's mixed with the 3DS specific conference and the Nintendo Direct, it kind of adds to the bloatedness as a part of, instead of just being like an extra thing after E3, it kind of becomes just another leg of this octopi thing, you know? It feels different now because it's with everything else.
Well, they usually really treat the round table as like they make announcements at that fairly regularly,
yeah,
don't they?
So if anything, maybe they've been kind of doing this on a smaller scale, and now they're actually just blowing it out of the water.
I think they make accidental announcements at the round. Like, I don't think, sometimes I feel like they don't realize how desperate we are for, like, any little shred of information. So they have their big E3 conference planned, and they're like, oh, that's cool. And then, like, Miyamoto will just come out in a developer conference and say, oh, we're working on Pikmin 3. And, like, to him, that's just, like, a comment. Like, it means nothing. And that he doesn't realize that for all of us, it's like, oh, my God, it's confirmed. They just announced a new game.
Yeah.
But to answer the question, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think from what I saw the main conference and, you know, in pieces because I was at work. And then I sat through the whole 3DS conference. And my girlfriend was actually with me. She was kind of watching a bit and then going and doing her own thing. But I think she was surprised that I wasn't more excited. And I was like, well, it's kind of actually boring. Like, it wasn't a very exciting conference. I don't think it's a bad idea to split them up and to give, you know, 3DS its own focus. But I was kind of surprised at how not that exciting, especially the 3DS, because I would think they'd have so many games to show off by this point. But,
well, and it's funny you brought up your girlfriend's reaction, because my wife usually watches the conferences with me as well, and it really goes to show you how, you know, folks like us, we pay attention to the information that comes across the internet every day. So for us, it wasn't surprises, and even a lot of the content of the games we knew about was not necessarily a surprise. But, like, yeah, my wife had kind of the same reaction, where they would show something and I would sort of not react, and she'd be like, aren't you excited about that? Like, aren't you, like, you love Castlevania. Aren't you going to go, you know, buy that as soon as it comes out and everything? And so it's just, it's interesting when you consider the perspective of even folks who are into games, but don't necessarily, you know, consume every little piece of news like we do, that it comes off as a lot more exciting.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't really clear what they were trying to accomplish with the 3DS conference. Like, I thought, you know, we had our main press conference. Now we're going to blow this out with a bunch of games, and we're just going to show off a ton of gameplay. But they just, it was actually a lot of talking. And in the Paper Mario part kind of bored me. I know some people on the board were saying, oh, they liked seeing the new information and how it works. But it kind of bored me. And my girlfriend actually asked, she's like, is this a game you're interested in? And I was like, it is, but I'm like, it's actually a lot more exciting than this is probably leading you to believe. Like, these games are a lot more fun than this conference is, you know, making them seem. So sure. I don't know. Maybe I'm just skeptical, but it wasn't that exciting of a conference for me. I thought they could have showed more gameplay, more games. There's a lot more 3DS games that we know about that just weren't there. You know, when they did the little sizzle reel, I started to get excited, and it was like four games or something. I'm like, come on, they have at least like 15 games they could throw in the sizzle reel, but it's like four.
Yeah, and I mean, well, do you share the opinion that they seem to be especially, you know, we say that they weren't talking about a lot of new games, but they probably feel that they were just being very focused. Do you think, I mean, is there any merit to that? Is it?
I think, I mean, that's definitely true. I think they definitely were focusing on what's coming this holiday season, I think, and that's fine. I think, at least for us, I don't know for, you know, the investors or whoever ultimately E3 is for, but at least for us, I think with 3DS, I think it did bother me as much, because I know a lot that's coming that wasn't there. You know, there's Ace Attorney versus Phoenix Wright is in the works. There's Shin Megami games, just different stuff that Nintendo didn't show off that I know exists. Mm-hmm. But with Wii U, it's kind of like, we really don't know what's coming in 2013 much at all. And I think if you're trying to sell people on buying this console at launch, you also have to sell them on the future. Like, okay, you're buying it for the games that are coming out now, but we also have this to look forward to.
Yeah, and, absolutely. I agree on that.
And there is time to do that before it launches. Obviously, they have like 5 months or however many months before it launches. So maybe
they
will.
Why not do it at E3, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Steven, did you want to move on to Andrew's main topic?
We don't have much time actually to talk about your topic, Zero, but let's definitely get into it a little bit. Yeah. So, Andrew, you wanted to talk about the games in the future, 2013. We've been talking about that just, you know, a moment ago. But do you expect Retro's game to be in 2013?
I have no idea. I really don't know. It really depends on what it is. Like, if it's another, like, 2D platformer, Donkey Kong type thing, then I think it could be ready. If it's, like, some big first-person shooter with online modes and all that, then maybe not.
Well, being a first-party developer, you think that, I mean, because they are kind of officially part of Nintendo now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Or I don't know if they're called second party because of that or whatever, but because they're so ingrained in Nintendo, maybe they've had dev kits well before other people, you know?
That's a good point.
I'm sure they have, yeah.
So maybe they're more ready than, maybe, like, you know, Nintendo's whole philosophy of showing things shortly before they release. I mean, maybe they are waiting to just have something incredible, like something that'll make us all forget we were bitching about this. So who knows, but you wanted to talk about, you know, Retro Studios specifically because of what, you know, you had a few different points you wanted to make, so let's go through those.
Well, I mean, I guess I wanted to talk about what we think they're working on. So there's kind of three questions I had. What do you guys think that Retro is working on is the first question. The second would be, what do you think they should be working on? Which I'm kind of framing that as like, what's best for Nintendo long term? How do they bring in new gamers? How do they make sure that Wii U is like a viable platform? And then the third question is, what would you personally want them to be working on? And for me, I have three different answers to the three different questions, but there might be some overlap for you guys. I don't know.
Well, maybe, but to your first question, though, I think they're working on... Okay, actually, I think all of the answers are going to be the same for me. Either another Metroid, like a Metroid Prime. However, because they've done so many, I think that they are trying to branch out. I think they might, I really do think they might be working on a Zelda.
Zelda?
Yeah. Because they've proven themselves with the Metroid franchise. They've proven themselves with the Donkey Kong franchise. I'm sure that there would be some sort of guidance and partnership with Nintendo and the classic guys who do Zelda, but I could really see them, any other company, I could see them doing Zelda right. You know, they really seem to know what the hell they're doing, and they seem to have a good grasp on what gamers who play Nintendo want too, you know, they, and without bastardizing the original source material. So I could see them doing that right. And I mean, Capcom did really nice 2D Zeldas, so it's not impossible for a non-Nintendo or, you know, non-EAD or whatever, or, you know, group normally does it, to do a good Zelda. So I could see them doing that. And I know people have really wanted that kind of thing for a while. That's been a big wishful thinking thing. And they were quoted as saying that they're working on the game that everyone wants them to do. So it could either be that or another Metroid, because that's been proven before. So I would bet one of those. I think that retro, or that whole rumor with the Star Fox Metroid thing, is probably a bullshit rumor. I don't think that anyone really wanted that ever. I think people would be more disappointed with that than excited. And I don't think that they would stick retro on that.
That just sounded silly. There's always these rumors that come along that, like, kind of sound cool in theory, but they almost sound like, you know, too cool, but without the actual, like, substance behind them. Like, you know, I remember one a couple of years back, I always use this example, but there was the whole, like, Oni Link action game rumor that, like, Nintendo was going to make a God of War type game with Oni Link.
Right.
From Majora's Mask. And this rumor got huge somehow, but it was like, really? Like, there's no way Nintendo's going to do that. It's not a Nintendo idea. And this Star Fox Metroid crossover, to me, just doesn't sound like something Nintendo would do to me.
No.
No, it sounds like a fan-made project.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that if I were to bet, man, it's tough because I think it would make a lot of sense if they were working on a Metroid Prime 4. But at the same time, it also makes a lot of sense that, as you said, Stephen, that they would want to branch out and maybe do something else.
Because, yeah, I mean, not to interject in your question, but if you look up their history, they had 4 canceled games before finally getting Metroid Prime out the door, which luckily was a big hit, and ever since they've been, you know, beloved. But they've only really done Metroid-themed stuff, except for working on Mario Kart and then Donkey Kong Country Returns. So, yeah, like, Metroid would be great, and they'd be good at it, but they probably want to, you know, wet their whistle in different ways.
Yeah, and as I kind of said in the last segment, if I were to pick for myself, I would hope that they'd be working on a Metroid game, and preferably probably something more along the lines of Other M, at least in terms of the play style. You know, the first-person shooter stuff is great for the Prime games, but I just feel like we have a really good trilogy already. I don't necessarily need more of that specific type of Metroid right now, but I would still be happy with it. I think, as far as maybe what I think they should be working on, is just for, like, to help their situation or what would be best for Nintendo, I think that maybe, if I were to guess, the Star Fox franchise might be the one that they are saying people want them to be working on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for sure, but I think, as I kind of said before, Star Fox is the kind of thing where people might be kind of thinking, like, oh, you know, it's been so long since we've seen a brand new Star Fox game.
Like a classic gameplay type.
Yeah, exactly. Like a true, like, flagship entry in the series. So it could be that. I also think, what about letting them try a new IP? I mean, do you think that's just too crazy? But because their track record is stellar. Right. And everyone is always saying that, like, Nintendo, they probably could do for a new IP. In my opinion, not because the other ones are overused or stale, but just because it's like, why not? You know, I mean, you've been so good with all the other ones. And I think that Retro might be the kind of studio that, if you were to trust anyone with coming up with something new.
Right. It'd be these guys.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out.
So that kind of meshes into the second question, then. You're thinking that maybe they should do a second IP.
Yeah. I mean, because I feel like if they did it, it's like the risk reward is so in their favor, because if it's something that turns out awesome, then everyone's happy. And if it's not that good, well, then it was just Retro. You know, it wasn't quote unquote like pure Nintendo first party, and they could just sort of sweep it under the rug and whatever.
Right. Call it an experiment and then move on.
Yeah. It would just be a small blemish on what has otherwise been an outstanding history for Retro. I don't know. It seems like a decent opportunity. But Andrew, what do you think about that?
Well, to answer my first question, I think they're working on Nintendo IP. I feel like such a skeptic, but it's almost like at this point, like, when is the last big production new IP from Nintendo. Like, we do get new IPs sometimes, but they're usually smaller things or like digital downloads or handheld games or something like the last huge, you know, probably years in production Nintendo IP, brand new one was probably the original Pikmin, right? And that was like 8 years ago or something, 9 years, yeah, something like
it,
that.
It depends. When I've heard people talk about this, it really depends on if you count Wii Sports as a, and the whole Mii thing as a new IP.
Yeah, but I'm thinking more like, you know, a big investment. Like, for Nintendo to give someone like Retro a new IP, it would probably take two to three years to make it. It would be a huge investment.
Sure.
You know, and I just don't feel like they do that anymore. It's been a while, at least. So I think they're probably working on something Nintendo related. What it is, that's hard to say. I definitely think they will do Metroid again at some point. So whether it's now or in the future, it's hard to say. Star Fox is the big rumor that gets thrown around a lot, which I love Star Fox games and I would love to see someone like Retro handle it, but a lot of people are really negative on that idea.
Really?
I don't know. I'd like to see them touch every Nintendo IP in some form. I think that they could do, you know, do them all justice in some way. Maybe not landmark primary games necessarily, but I think that they could put their spin on anything and it would succeed in some fashion.
I think that's true, but I think some people see them as a developer who could do something bigger than Star Fox would be, which to me, like, Star Fox 64 is one of my favorite games. So I think even though it's a, you know, basically an on-rail shooter, it could be amazing. But I think some people see that as kind of a limited genre by default, and there's only so much you could do with it. But yeah, so there's that. And then there's, you know, as Steven mentioned, Zelda, which they could make an awesome Zelda, no question. It's hard to imagine Nintendo letting them do that. I mean, it could happen, but to me, Zelda always seems like Nintendo internal at EAD, and that's what they do. And there's been some handheld exceptions, but
yeah, in the back of my mind, I mean, that kind of remind myself that, like, the Capcom games were kind of, they were pretty much aimed to be offshoots, you know, they weren't really primary Zelda games. And so I guess realistically, I'm not sure Nintendo would be ready to let Retro do something like that, but
I think it was an interesting idea though. I could see them maybe working together a little bit.
Donkey Kong Zelda crossover confirmed.
No, hopefully not. No, but I mean, if they, you know, if they're, I mean, my goodness, I know the results were mixed in reception, but they worked with Team Ninja on a Metroid game. So I think that's a much further leap. I know Metroid isn't as closely guarded as Zelda, but I still think that's a further leap than collaborating with Retro on a Zelda game.
Yeah, it was kind of like Nintendo showing that they are maybe more willing to take a gamble on some things, to experiment, to really, like, maybe they're afraid of being too stale, so they're trying new things that they hope work.
Right.
Yeah. You know, to be fair, back when the Retro on Donkey Kong rumors came out, I didn't believe those at all. I was like Donkey Kong, that's the last thing Retro's going to be put on. And then they were. So who knows?
Yeah, to go from the first-person adventure games to a side-scrolling platformer is quite a leap, you know?
Yeah.
I remember when one of the first screenshots I saw, everyone was just focused on, like, oh, they hid Metroid things in the background. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, oh, like, poor Retro, you know, they're just gonna, like, no one's even gonna take it seriously as, like, a new Donkey Kong game. They're just gonna think of it as a game from those guys who did Metroid.
You know, it's funny, Retro is responsible for my love of Metroid and Donkey Kong Country, because without Metroid Prime and without DKCR, I wouldn't have really gotten into either franchise.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I didn't know. Well, I just didn't play much of DKC. There was Andrew during a Secret Santa a few years ago that got me to play the first one. But that was after I played DKCR, and I found DKCR so fun. Just from when I first saw it, it just looked fun.
It's so good. It's really so good. I only played the first Donkey Kong Country back in the day. I never really played much of 2 and 3, but I really liked that game in the day, but man, Donkey Kong Country Returns is so good.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm amazed that they took what, you know, Rare is such a renowned company, and yet Retro took what they did and made it better, which, I mean, yeah, they had, you know, a lot of time to think about it, considering these games have been out, but I'm just glad that they surpassed in a lot of people's minds.
Well, Donkey Kong Country 2 is definitely better than the first one, so I don't know if you guys have played that game.
No, I do need to play
that. Is it?
It is definitely better. It's a step up. The first one's kind of like really bland level designs. The second one actually has more design behind it. But with that said, I think Retro topped all of them easily. So
you know, we have like no more time, but let's get to, I just want to hear you guys, what do you want them to be working on?
Well, real quick, I'll say what I think would be maybe best for Nintendo, because I didn't really get into that, but I think that's a really hard question, because it depends what that actually means. If Nintendo's really trying to reach out to this whole like HD audience, though, I think maybe, even though it's not what I want them to do, I think like a more traditional first-person shooter with online and all of that stuff would probably be the way to do it. It's kind of not what I want at all from Retro, but I think that would be like, that's the game that if they announced it, you'd have a bunch of people who suddenly interested in, and they'd be like, wow, this is what, you know, the same people who, there were people who like, the only thing interesting to them on the Wii was like Red Steel and stuff like that. And that wasn't even like a good game from a good developer. So like a retro first person shooter could be huge.
You know, it's funny because as we've been talking about E3, on these last two podcasts, I mean, I've kind of said a couple times how much the one thing I was missing from Nintendo this year was something that would show sort of the gaming audience at large that they were a company to be taken seriously, especially going forward with the Wii U. And you mentioned, you know, a first person shooter with online and stuff that could do that. I think it's so true that something like that is not necessarily what I want to play, or necessarily the direction that I want to see Nintendo go in. But it's almost that they would have to just do something along those lines, almost as just a show of good faith, just so that we wouldn't have to put up with all the other negatives that go along with people not perceiving the console as like a quote unquote, like a real gaming console, or Nintendo as like a company that cares about gamers. You know, everyone has attached this stigma that they just care about getting grandma off the couch or whatever silly stereotypes they have. And so, yeah, there's this disconnect between like what potentially Nintendo could be perceived as, how much better the perceptions could be if they would take a step more in that direction, more in that sort of first-person shooter, you know, bro-y kind of direction. But hopefully they could manage to do it in a way that wouldn't feel bro-y to folks like us who just appreciate Nintendo for all the good that they have done and continue to do. I don't know. Did that make any sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's true. And like I said, that's not what I really want either, especially from Retro, who's one of my favorite developers. But I think it would get the gaming population at large looking at them, and you'd have these major sites like IGN and GameStop that would be all over that kind of game.
Right. I mean, even if you look at the Prime games, that, you know, those were first-person shooters, and everyone jokes about how a lot of first-person shooters now, it's always like, you know, it's war or it's like Space Marines. Well, Metroid basically is the Space Marine route. So that game on its own is so close to that demographic, but then of course it's all draped in the coat of paint of, like, you know, the classic Nintendo awesome nostalgic goodness that they've always had. And so I feel like they would be able to walk that line and do it in a way that would not be off-putting to us, but could also be attractive to just, you know, the more God, I hate to ever use the word hardcore, but you know what I mean if I say that, like, just, you know, the kind of people who write articles for IGN and write articles for Kotaku and make videos for game trailers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Real quick, though, I know we don't have a lot of time, but to get to what I would personally want from them, it would be, and this is kind of vague, but it would be a new IP that's not a first-person shooter. And I don't know what it would be. I mean, they could surprise me. That's fine. But I'd like to see like a brand new IP. I think it's like time for Nintendo to do a brand new IP. And I don't want to see, I mean, I'll be happy with pretty much anything Retro does, but I don't want to necessarily see another Metroid or Donkey Kong Country right away. And I know they can make a great Star Fox or F-Zero, but I'm assuming like a lot of that stuff's going to come anyway. And I'd like to just see something new. But I'm not a big fan of first-person shooters. I'd rather see them do something like some kind of weird adventure, something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, Nintendo and the people they work with, I mean, they're always so darn creative with the content of their games, the setup of their hardware. You know, I mean, I don't think anyone with half a brain could say that Nintendo is not creative, innovative, whatever you want to call it. It just so happens that they tend to always do that creativity within the space that they've already defined, within the franchises that they've already established. So that's where we're at.
All right. Well, yeah, this definitely ran long, this segment, but we had a lot of good discussion, as with every single guest we've had on this duplex of podcast. Zero, thank you for your participation and, of course, your concept that got us all here in the first place. Thanks,
Andrew.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to everyone on the site, because really, if no one came and believed in whatever I was trying to do, I'd still be sitting there with a website and one member.
That'd make for some very schizophrenic conversation.
Actually, that come to think of it, that'd be actually a great site. I don't know what I'm doing with all you guys.
Wow. Okay. Well, when we notice your absence,
every poll would have 100%.
Wow, what a weird
concept.
Alternate reality, etc. But
shall we wrap it up, Stephen?
All right. Well, yeah. So, like I've said a billion times, we are definitely out of time. I'm like ready to pass out. It's really late on this Friday evening, and so, you know, by the time you're hearing this, it's been a little while, so we want you to go to negativeworld.org and comment on the thread and tell us what you think. We had a lot of interesting thoughts in this podcast, and so, you know, we're just, what, five guys total? We want to hear from everyone else, so please come and comment, tell us why we suck, tell us why we're great, and, you know, anything you want to do, we want to hear about it. So come tell us about that, and if you don't want to subscribe to Negative World, you can always, you know, find us on Facebook, searching for negativeworld.org, or you can get us on Twitter at @negative_world. And so there's a variety of ways to get at us. So thanks again, Joe, for all your help with all these podcasts and everything.
Thank you for having me, Stephen.
And thank you to, Mr. Mustache, Cryogen, and Zero for your participation as well.
No problem. And it's probably may be out before this podcast even hits, but everyone should look forward to a brand new Negative World feature coming soon.
Oh, yes. I know what it is, but I'm not going to say.
Secret feature.
Secret right. feature.
I'm like hyping this up way too much. I'm going to be like a Peter Molyneux here.
You're being less secretive than Nintendo, though. Oh, zing. Wait. Yeah,
that makes sense. All kinds of parallels here.
Yeah, I'm too tired to know if that made sense. So, all right, so I think I should just go to bed now, guys. So, I appreciate your time here and on the boards. Thanks again to everybody, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye. Peace.